This is the Next Bite of Life podcast, the place to be to hear personal stories from expats, digital nomads, and everybody else taking their next bite of life. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. I'm Kem, your host. Today, it's going to be another solo session for me. And actually, as of now, for the near future, it's going to be me alternating with a guest the following podcast. So 1 week I'll be solo and the next week I'll have an interview podcast for you. The reason being, it's getting a little bit busier for me and I don't have as much time to seek out interviews and get it in time for you to listen to. So doing interviews every other week will give me a little bit of breathing space. This week, I want to talk to you about what is happening in Spain right now. I don't know if people are familiar with the state of things, but I'm sure you've all seen the headlines as far as what's going on and how the panic and how everybody thinks that we're already in the second wave of the coronavirus and if Spain is going to be headed for another lockdown. So far, the Prime Minister has said there are no plans. He said for sure Spain is not headed for a second lockdown. But at this point, I really don't know who to trust. I feel like I can't trust anybody. The cases just keep on rising. And the Prime Minister Sanchez said a couple of days ago that he's quote unquote, we are worried about Madrid because they have the highest number of COVID positive cases. And there are a lot of regions that are locking down and going back to like phase one or phase two, where they can't, you can't come out of your house except to go to the pharmacy or to go to the doctor. And it's gotten to the point where there's so many popping up in all their hotspots all over the country that it's become a cause for concern. And the number of registered positive cases, it's just insane. Last week, there were 15,000. And when you consider the fact that we had this, when we came out of the lockdown in July, at the beginning of July, there were, it was pretty shut down. And now it seems like there's just the uptick that doesn't stop. And they can't seem to put a finger on things as to where it came from and how it spread. I have my thought on how that came about. The thing is, I can understand it being that Madrid has a lot of cases because one, it's the capital of the country. And second, Madrid and Barcelona were the only airports that were open for travelers. So it is like the gateway and people come through there and they come from all over. And I've always said when we were out of the lockdown that it seemed like they opened the gates way too early. The borders were open way too early. But I think the urge to make those tourist dollars come back to Spain was a big driving force. And unfortunately, it was a calculation that failed. We had so many people coming from, the UK and other European countries where their lockdown was nowhere as strict as the one they had in Spain. And so I'm pretty sure that a lot of the cases came from people visiting the country because, when you go out on the street, we live in Valencia, and when you go out on the street, you could see people, the locals were wearing masks and the tourists were not, and they couldn't, they couldn't be bothered for a lot of times. We saw some actually obeying the law and wearing them, but there were quite a few of them that did not. So I think, when the borders were open, the tourists, unfortunately, or even just people traveling through, there was a big chance of it being, you know, of them being carriers and having it passed on to people here. And now it's opened up a whole new can of worms and they can't control what's happening. So it'll be interesting. A lot of the people had said, you know, that the cause was people coming from like the workers that came to like tend to the soil, and, you know, people from African countries that were doing temporary work and other Latin countries that were doing temporary work that brought them in. But I really, you know, that's for sure anyway, but I don't think it was as much as the fact that they were so eager to open the borders because, you know, the lack of tourism was a devastating effect on the country as a whole. And so to like get the money back, they opened everything up. And now tourist season is over and I don't want to get to the point where the people that live here now have to suffer, because I definitely don't want to go through another lockdown and have to be confined to the house. So it's been a hard adjustment for all. Right now, as far as what's going on, the schools are supposed to open next week, and hopefully they will open. Yesterday, the teachers were all taking their COVID tests because, of course, they have to get the all clear before they can go to school, they can go back to school. And it just seemed like it wasn't handled very well. There were hundreds and thousands of teachers lined up. No social distancing. They were all trying to like get their test done. And you wonder, you know, if somebody was infected and was asymptomatic, could they pass it on to the rest of the people? And once again, you have the flare-ups. So who knows? At this point, it just seems like it wasn't really planned out right as far as school. Now, I've been taking Spanish classes, which it was interrupted before the COVID shutdown. It was interrupted by the shutdown, but hopefully we're going back to school soon. But even my teacher says she hasn't had any guidance as far as like what's going on. So even the school is supposed to start pretty soon, nobody knows. So as far as they know, regular school will start. Kids under six don't have to wear a mask, but kids over six will have to. And the teacher is supposed to wear a mask. I'm not sure how that's going to work if they're trying to talk to people. It's not really easy trying to talk through the mask. At least the only thing is the weather has gone down a little bit. The temperature has dropped, so it's not as bad. But in the summertime, it was really, really hard. Now, hopefully school will start. The parents will have a little relief because the kids will be away at school. The places that have shut down, places like Salamanca, Segovia, there's another place in Valencia where they've shut down completely. I'm not sure what's going to happen to the kids as far as school is concerned. Of course, one of the hardest parts of like the coronavirus pandemic has been the horrible effects. There's been a lot of businesses that have closed. Restaurants, and it's just sad to like walk around the neighborhood, for instance, or go downtown and you have like big name restaurants that had just completely shut, you know, stores like the local tiendas that couldn't make it work anymore. And the unemployment rate it has skyrocketed. I think it's hovering, they said, at about 30-35% unemployment, and it's only going to go up from there, of course, because, you know, there are no jobs, and the ones that are there, they, you know, there are no hours for the people that work. We've been trying to do our part by starting to go out a little bit more, eat, but even when we go out to restaurants, a lot of times, which we do like two times a week, something like that. Before the pandemic, we went out to eat like maybe once a week. We cook in a lot, but we've been trying to go out once or twice a week. And a lot of times we're the only two in the restaurant. And how can a place survive with just, you know, such low customer numbers? And if you have sitting outside, you're allowed to spread out. There are people outside, but you can tell from what they're eating, it's not like even before. They're sitting there having a drink instead of having a meal, or they have a side order or something that costs €2 and a beer, you know, and it's so hard for the owners to make any sort of profit. And what I notice is a lot of restaurants now, just to try and hang in there, they're closed for lunch. So they only open for dinner, and the hours are even shorter. And so there's even like less people, there's less staff. And it's just an unfortunate side effect of the pandemic. The other thing about the unemployment is like the youth unemployment rate is absolutely mind-boggling. It's somewhere around 41%. During the past depression, the last recession they had around 2008, something like that, the unemployment rate youth was really, really high as well. And we actually met quite a few people from Spain who had moved to Malta in hopes of finding work. So when we lived in Malta, we met some people who were trying to make ends meet, because they said when they were in Spain, they couldn't find any jobs, or, you know, the maximum they would find would be like 8 hours a week. So you have to couple together like two or three jobs, and still 20 something hours doesn't, you know, leave you enough to live on. And one of the reasons I think a lot of Spanish people, a lot of Spanish youth, they have so many degrees because, you know, there's no school. I mean, there is schooling, but there is no jobs. So basically, just to keep yourself occupied, you go back to school. And so we met a lot of people with 2-3 degrees because there's just nothing for them. And I'm just afraid that this is going to be something that's going to linger for a very long time. What we've noticed in Valencia, at least for my friends and other expats that I talk to, there's also been an uptick in robbery, not violent robberies, but, you know, pickpocketing, apartment break-ins. The only thing before this was like, you know, your bike will be stolen. And that was always a joke with everybody, that don't leave your bike anywhere unless you have like 3 or 4 locks, because it'll be gone by the time you get back. But now people are having their wallets stolen on the metro, you know, when they're the phone on the table, grab and run. And you're seeing a little more activity in that regard. And they also check for apartments or houses that are empty that they can break into. And this is kind of sad, because that was something that was more like, everybody used to say, yeah, it happens like in Barcelona, it happens in Madrid maybe, but now it's happening everywhere. So it's worrying. And I'm just afraid that with this recession, it's only going to get worse. And now there are a lot more people begging in the streets. But, you know, this recession has been bad for everybody. It's been worldwide. It's not just Spain. From the way the press makes it seem, you think that this was unique, this second wave. And like the New York Times has an article about how, you know, Spain cares more about the nightclubs than they do like the schools, which is kind of, you know, it's kind of a valid point, because it seemed like they were more worried about keeping the nightclubs open or doing everything that they could to make the dollars keep rolling in. But as far as like the schooling, they sort of left that to the last minute to worry about it. So yeah, it's been a little bit of, you're guilty. But then when you look at things that are happening in the United States, it's not like they're handling it any better. But I always say you have to, it's not like there was a pandemic that happened like in our lifetime, or even like a lot of the rulers that we have today, a lot of the ministry, the cabinet, they're not old enough to have remembered like what happened, the Spanish flu, for instance. So there was no blueprint for handling things like this. So of course, you know, hindsight is always good, but how did you know? You don't know what's going to happen. So it's hard for me to point a finger and say they didn't handle this right. They didn't handle this, you know, they handled this very badly. I think, you know, you make the decisions as you're faced with them. When this whole pandemic happened, I certainly wasn't thinking it was going to become this huge thing that was going to shut the world down. In fact, when we first started hearing about what was going on and, you know, little parts of China was having this problem with this flu, we really didn't think much of it. And I was still going about my travel plans, and we had planned to go to Italy. And so I wasn't about to stop my plans because of this pandemic. No, it wasn't even a pandemic at that point. This flu and things like that was happening in China. And then we slowly started hearing about it, saying, you know, Italy was having a problem with it. And we still didn't think anything of it, because not in your wildest dreams would you think that something like this was going to happen. So anyway, we went ahead and made our plans. But that's a story for another time, I think. I've rambled on long enough for this episode. What I would like to say is, if you're enjoying this podcast, we would appreciate you subscribing to it and leaving us any reviews on iTunes if you can, because I enjoy bringing you the podcast, and I enjoy looking for interviews for it. And it would be nice if you could just please show your appreciation by subscribing to the show. As far as what's going to happen in Spain, your guess is as good as mine. All we can do is hang in there and hope that things change for the better and we can go back to a resemblance of life again. As far as travel, we're choosing to stay close to home because there are just too many variables. And when I travel, I like to go and relax. And I don't think, you know, worrying about will the borders close again? Would I be locked in a house? What's the use of going to another country to see it, but then not being able to, and all you have is the four walls in your hotel room? It just doesn't sound like a good vacation to me. So that is it for now. We're staying home, and hopefully everybody else is being safe and being healthy. And that's it. So thank you for listening to this podcast episode, and I'll see you on the next one. Bye.